Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Today we're going to continue in the series about the creation event. I believe this is the 9th part of that series. And we're still looking at the 5th day. In Genesis 1:26, the Word of God says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." The scientists try to tell us how it is that man came about and that man has dominion over the planet, over those things which are alive on this planet apart from ourselves, and we have dominion. And they try to say that this evolved, that somehow we evolved a greater capacity mentally. And because of that greater mental capacity, we have the ability to really instill our will on the rest of creation, or in their case, they would say Mother Nature. So we have our ability to instill our will on nature, and therefore we can do as we choose. Now, this is not really in agreement with the evidence, but this is what they tell us. Why exactly it is that other organisms living in the same environment would not have evolved the same ability as man, they don't address. They only say that we evolved the most. And I imagine they would say things like, well, we happen to be the fortunate ones to get the right mutation. And that mutation conferred this slightly elevated ability. And this all has a lot of problems. The other thing they do not explain to us is, how did we get the ability to be creative? If you throw a tennis ball, this is in my house, if you throw a tennis ball under the ottoman, my dog will dive under the ottoman. Now, if you throw it from the other side, he will still dive under the ottoman. Why? Because he is a wonderful little beast, but he is not that creative. His problem-solving skills are not equivalent to the problem-solving skills of, let's say, John here, I think. I cannot imagine John diving under the ottoman for a tennis ball. But my dog does that. They look under the sofa when a toy has rolled under it and wonder, how am I going to get this? And then they look at you ever so pathetically, and you can tell they're saying, can you help me? They have no great level of creativity, although they're nice dogs, both of them. The one is a little smarter than the other, though, I think. Figures it would be the girl. Now, why were we created with the ability to problem solve? John, what would you do if the ball ran under the ottoman?
Probably leave it there.
No, that would be different. You would probably take a broom handle or something, right? Or if you couldn't reach it. Problem solve. They don't think of picking up a broom handle and scooting it over, or whatever other stick they can find in the backyard, maybe. We alone have this creative thing. Now, there are some elements of rudimentary problem solving with all organisms. But we seem to be the ones who are creative. Why? Evolution cannot explain that. The Bible says that we were created in the image of God. God explains it. God is very creative. He created everything. And we, in the image of God, can do things like engineer things, or come up with ideas, or paintings, or books, or music. Other animals do not play flutes, or oboes, or violins, or cellos, or pianos. We do. Other animals, like even the opposable thumb, they do not whistle. We do. And even those birds that can mimic speech, it's not actual speech. It's mimicking. We can come up with an original idea and express it. Evolution cannot account for this. Now, we are told that all of these things take place because of mutations in our DNA. In order to understand what they are saying, we first have to understand what DNA is, and by understanding what DNA is, we can then understand why what they are saying really doesn't make scientific sense. You see, here's the thing. If you talk to a biologist about creation, they'll tell you it's unscientific. If you ask them why, they say because you can't examine it. If you ask them for evidence, or if you present evidence, they refuse to consider it. I know one guy who's a biologist, and he discards the evidence, simply will not even consider it, of things like irreducible complexity, or the evidence, or really the reality that all the evidence there is in evolutionary theory is for microevolution, the narrowing in the gene pool. There is not one shred of evidence for the expansion of the gene pool. They simply won't go there. If you insist on it, they'll just react at you. That is not a good scientific mentality. A good scientific mentality says you look at all the possibilities. You examine all the evidence. You don't disregard evidence because it doesn't favor your personal pet opinion. But yet, this is what is consistently done by secular scientists who adhere to evolutionary theory. I have yet to meet one, or even hear of one, who can actually present evidence and base his entire argument on the foundation of evidence. And when evidence is presented, they simply say, well, I'm throwing that out. That's pathetically bad science. For those evolutionary scientists who may be listening on the internet, you're a miserably pathetic scientist, if that is how you are thinking. Most of you evolutionists, that's exactly how you're thinking. In science, we examine evidence. The DNA is designed in such a way that linguists tell us that it has a 99.9% fidelity rate according to the Journal of the Cell. That is the highest fidelity rate of any language known to mankind. If you were to write out the information that is contained in an individual cell, individual human cell, each human cell, trillions of them, have a complete copy of this, you would get a 1,000 volume series of books that are 500 pages apiece with 10